Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. 713-572-4610. If you want to text or call. Jose Altuve, couple things. Jose Altuve, still leading at second base as of yesterday for the All-Star game. Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez are virtual locks to be involved in the runoff at their positions. Top two at each position for the All-Star game get into a runoff, and we'll know by the end of next week if both of them will be starting in the All-Star game. I'd be surprised if they're not. George Springer is in line to start the All-Star game as well, so we get to see our old friend in the Midsummer Classic, if that
You'll
happens.
You'll be surprised if in a runoff, Altuve doesn't win.
Yes.
I think the problem is in the runoff situation. Altuve is getting a lot of votes right now because there are, a lot of people that don't care about the being better than everybody else scandal anymore outside of Houston.
Yep.
And then obviously he has a lot of support inside of Houston.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that he'd be number one right now. Once it gets to the runoff situation, though, I think a lot of those people who are voting for other guys
they're
there.
They're going to gang up?
Yes, yes. So I fear that he won't start. Not that it's not keeping me up at night or anything. I just feel like, you know what it is, Sean?
What?
When I was checking in on seeing how Carlos Beltran was doing on the Yankees broadcast during this last series,
yeah.
At one point, Michael Kay, who the play-by-play guy was bringing up the reasons that Yankees fans felt so much animosity for the Astros. And without any added context, he said, suspicion of a buzzer in 2019, and then just moved right along. Like almost validating the completely ridiculously absurd allegation that Altuve is using some kind of NASA technology to wear a buzzer.
I'll stick up for Michael Kay. I think he viewed suspicion of as us saying allegedly for everything involved in these Deshaun Watson lawsuits.
No, when I say allegedly, usually like I'm trying to treat it with like the actual, like what we're supposed to do, which is okay in a lawsuit or whatever, allegedly. Michael Kay says suspicion of a buzzer as a way of validating that there was a, he didn't say like the absurd suspicion of a buzzer. He said, he didn't say the disproved suspicion of a buzzer.
Yeah.
He just said suspicion of a
buzzer. I am taking up for the play-by-play guy on the Yankees right now. So yeah. You're right. Okay, well, let me see if
he's not even an Odyssey employee, Sean.
Let me see if I can convince you otherwise that Altuve might have some support. Did you see this story from John Heyman in the New York Post? Reggie Jackson, Mr. October, Yankee legend, who's now an employee of the Houston Astros, was in an elevator with Yankee fans over the weekend. And one of the Yankee fans was telling his buddy how much he despised Jose Altuve. The gentleman proudly told his chums, quote, "I hate that little sawed-off SOB." And that's where Mr. October, now an Astros executive, entered the convo. Jackson told the fellow, before adding one comment, he said, "He's my favorite player." Quote, "You should be quiet." The fellow had one question for Reggie. "You're Reggie Jackson, aren't you?" Reggie said, "Yes, I am." And so the guy took Reggie's advice and shut up. That's what John Heyman is saying. And Reggie went on to say that Jose Altuve is one of his favorite players, that Jose Altuve is a great player.
Yeah.
And John Heyman himself in this column for the New York Post says that Yankee fans need to stand the hell down on Jose Altuve.
Well, for one, it's blowing up in their faces. I mean, he hits a home run 50% of the time he faces the Yankees.
Ready? I got the number.
Yeah.
10 home runs in 99 at-bats against the Yankees since 2017.
Yeah. since 2019, it's 50% of the games.
Yeah.
I think it's 9 out of 19 at this point, so a little bit less, something like that. It's crazy how good he's been versus the Yankees. And I do think in some respects, it's the buzzer allegations are almost a tack on to the fact that this is a guy that's like upended them and helped eject them from the playoffs. And has won games via walk off multiple times. Like, I think at least part of it is just like old school. This is a player that keeps beating us.
Yeah.
So
you're fueling him. Stop it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you tack on to the buzzer stuff, which I gotta think the majority of Yankees fans know is a garbage allegation.
Yeah.
But then other people just conveniently don't think about it too hard. The thing I don't like, Sean, and I gotta think there are a lot of Yankees fans that are like this. Like, can I go to a ball game without half of the game being an obscene chant about one of the other players?
Right.
Is that they're not just booing Altuve. They're shouting bleep Altuve.
Right.
And I know they swear a lot more in the Northeast than they do in the South or the Midwest or Texas. But there are still people that probably want their kids to not, you know, necessarily be encouraged to be yelling bleep Altuve.
It's New York, are you sure?
I don't know. I think so.
Start them young.
I know people whose kids are, I know they live in New York with their kids and they don't encourage their kids to be yelling bleep anybody at any time.
Yeah. No, seriously, in all seriousness, if you're chanting curse words at a game, you're a loser. You're a loser. That's all I got to say about that.
So, that was another thing too, that, I was listening for Carlos Beltran and whether he would defend Altuve regarding the actual being better than everybody else scandal. He never did that I heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say I kind of scanned through maybe a third of the time. He talked about Altuve a lot. He mentioned a couple times. A couple times he mentioned that Altuve works out with 100-pound dumbbells and like just how strong he is for such a diminutive guy.
He's 5'7", and he's got like 15 bombs this year. Yes.
Yeah.
He is strong.
Yeah. So... I was a little disappointed in Carlos Beltran, who very much sounded like a guy who didn't want to get too involved and talk about the scandal, but also didn't want to stick up for Altuve at all. In that regard, at least as far as I heard. Maybe there were other times where he did.
You have a little bit of agreement on the text page, 832-260. I don't know if I like this runoff thing because the haters will vote against him. What Seth is saying. I'm willing to make it interesting with you or 832 guy here. Yeah. I think Altuve is going to start in the All-Star game.
Oh, and it was 9 home runs in 17 regular season games since 2019.
Okay.
That's the crazy one. He's 15 for 56 inside Yankee Stadium.
That's wild.
Since 2017.
That's crazy.
I think they might be yelling bleep Altuve even without the being better than everyone else scandal.
Yeah. Yeah, 9 home runs in 17 regular season games against the Yankees in that span. That's crazy, man. That is bananas. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Let's go to the phones. Lamont's in Missouri City. Hello, Lamont.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, man, you know, Busby's timing is pretty damn good, man, because I think what a lot of people are forgetting, I don't think that this case is going to see a courtroom at all. I think the Texans are going to end up settling. And part of the reason I think that, because they got bigger fish to fry. They have to deal with this Flores case. And I think people are forgetting about that they're getting sued by Flores. Another thing about Busby, and I'm really shocked that a lot of people in media are not picking up on this. If I'm Busby, what I'm doing, I'm going back to October or December of 19 or 20. I believe, and I'm getting that SI article, and I'm specifically getting that piece in the article. I'm following this lead where it says that Jack Easterby had players followed. I would like to know who those. I think it said 4 players followed. It's really odd that no one is not followed up on this.
Yeah.
Like, who did he follow?
You know what, Lamont? That was one thing in that article. I talked to somebody about that part of the article specifically, and that person said, it was a writer I was talking to, who said that that was a spot in the article where SI could have used an editor. None of these publications have editors anymore. And because the way it was framed was that players suspected that Jack Easterby had them tailed, but there was never any actual evidence that it was Jack Easterby or anything. But I think it is interesting, though. You're right. That's something you'd want to discover. That's exactly what Busby would want to discover is, okay, did Jack Easterby or any other executives, or was Cal McNair ever made aware of this? And yeah, did they, why, if they were indeed investigating, if there's a deposition, okay, you're exactly right, Lamont, in terms of where you should be sniffing. So that's a question that Busby might ask in a deposition. But as of now, you know, like, they haven't had a reason to depose any of the higher-ups in the organization. Maybe that comes in this lawsuit. And I do think I agree with you, Lamont, that this probably doesn't end up going to court, if only because, Sean, you and I were talking during the break, look at what's going on with the Washington football team, the Washington Commanders, and what happens when all of a sudden people get a look at all your emails and get to take a deep dive into all this other stuff. These organizations don't want all of their dirty laundry exposed for whatever reason, you know, whether, you know, it doesn't have to be anything illegal or wrong, but like the stuff that's away from this actual issue.
Yeah, Washington's so, getting investigated. What's the biggest thing that's happened? John Gruden got fired.
Yeah.
You know, like
the part about that article, the expose from, about Jack Easterby 2 years ago now, that was interesting. As I was reading it, was, okay, look, I know from just talking to various people that there's a lot in that article that had a lot of meat to it. Players suspecting that they're being tailed by the team, sometimes it's just like a natural paranoia thing that happens. So, like, without any guy, like, I remember when I used to talk on my phone with my agent, he always wanted to be sure that I wasn't on one of the phones in the, like a landline in the facility.
Or speakerphone.
He's like, you got cell phone reception, be sure you're not on a landline. Yeah. Like, there's a certain level of paranoia
like
about
mob.
Like what the team is checking up on
Seth,
you and everything.
Go to a payphone. Yeah. I got the counter offer. Go to a payphone.
Yeah. So that part of it, without any evidence other than a guy thought he was being tailed by a dark car, I don't know. But it's a good basis for asking a question, certainly. And then, you know, you see how they respond to it in the deposition.
It is funny Lamont asked that question, because that's what you and I were talking about during the break. Like, do you think this just, like, is this something that the Texans might have a much easier stomach for just settling and making go away, even if they don't think they did anything wrong?
Yeah.
A billion, multi-billion dollar organization to deal with something, you know, they might have an easier stomach of making it go away than Deshaun seemed to for his lawsuits.
I always had a fantasy that if I were a billionaire, like a Fortune 500 company owner or something, that I'd have like a team of private detectives. This was when I was like 13 or 14 years old.
Yeah.
And that basically I would just know everything about everybody all the time. Logistically, it ends up being more difficult than there have been times in my life where I'm like, I should probably hire a private eye,
dude.
But I have no idea how to go about it other than, like, what am I going to do?
Knowing
scan the yellow pages?
Knowing everything about everybody is a big burden, man. You know, yeah, like, I'd rather.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Like, I never want to leave a phone recording in a room or anything. Like, I don't want to know what people say about me.
Same.
Please, God, no.
Same, dude. Same.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's where my, like, my brother, who's a really good coach, once I overheard like a couple of his players' parents talking about him, like criticizing my brother, and I was like, should I pass it on to him? And I was like, it sounds like it kind of might be a big deal. And I started to tell him, he's like, I don't give a damn.
Don't
like,
wanna, okay,
he's a yeah, he's a better. He just doesn't care.
He doesn't like, care. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You and I are That's, sensitive.
Yeah. No, but he's learned over time because he's been exposed to it. Like, you can't spend your time worrying
right.
about what all the parents are saying about. They're going to criticize you.
100%.
No matter what. They're, on any sports team that involves any kind of youth whatsoever, parents will be criticizing you.
Actual Texans football talk. One expert whose opinion I think Seth and I both respect thinks the Texans are going to be better than the experts give them credit for. And we'll let you hear why next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Tuesday. By the way, Aaron Wilson just tweeted opening statements in the Deshaun Watson disciplinary hearing before disciplinary officer Sue Robinson, set for 9 a.m. Eastern time, so 8 a.m. Houston time. NFL recommending indefinite suspension of at least 1 year. Yep. Watson represented by Rusty Harden and Jeffrey Kessler, who is the attorney for the NFLPA, right?
Is that Jeff from Yale? Oh, no, from the NFLPA.
Yeah.
Scott from Yale was the guy from his agency.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to see the inside of this courtroom, old Scotty.
What's this guy's name? Jeffrey what?
Jeffrey Kessler. Kessler. He's
NFLPA.
Yeah, he's a pretty well-renowned labor lawyer.
So. Ooh, international law firm.
Yeah, yeah.
Winston and Strawn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Fancy. Mm.
If that's the same guy, I don't know.
Yeah. So I say all that to say that starting at 8 a.m. this morning is when the hearing begins. My guess is Aaron and others will be tweeting what they find out as we go. This is one of the biggest, in terms of the trajectory of this season, future seasons for the Browns, future seasons for the Texans, this is one of the biggest news stories that we've had in quite some time. What is Deshaun Watson's punishment going to be? We may find out today or in the next
and
couple
I've seen,
days.
I disagree a bit with what I've seen written about this. I've seen a lot of people say like he's expected to get 1 year. The NFL is recommending a year,
correct,
at least. So I don't think it's fair for anybody to have any expectations whatsoever. And this is another instance where I think there's a little bit of groupthink going on. We've never seen this specific process play out, not just because Deshaun's situation is so unique, but under the new collective bargaining agreement, there's a truly independent arbitrator.
Yeah.
So, like, the NFL recommending a year, it used to be like, okay, the NFL is going to recommend to Roger Goodell. In effect, the NFL is going to recommend to itself that it should be a year, and then he's going to give him a year.
Yeah.
This is different. This is more like a courtroom type of situation where Sue Robinson is an independent arbitrator.
Yeah, I was on Fox this morning before the show with our friend Nate Griffin, and Nate asked me that. He's like, so what do you think the punishment's going to be? I'm like, Nate, I have no idea. It's the first time. This is a brand new way to dole out punishment, and this is the first time they've used. I know nothing about Sue Robinson, nothing.
And now the difference is, though, that if Sue Robinson gives a punishment of, let's say, 8 games, under the new CBA, Roger Goodell has the right to increase that punishment.
If the NFL appeals.
Right. If the NFL appeals, right. So, but regardless, if the NFL is recommending a year And if Sue Robinson says, okay, it's actually 8 games, well, Roger Goodell is the NFL.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that he'll amp it up to a year. So maybe it's fair to say people expect it to be a year, because I don't think anybody expects that there will be zero suspension.
No.
I guess the interesting thing would be, okay, what if Sue Robinson says a 2-game suspension and the NFL had recommended a year? And at that point, if the NFL appeals, Roger Goodell has the right to increase the suspension. Would he, because all of this is brand new, is he going to try to respect kind of the independent arbitrator? Or is he just going to say, well, look, it's my right. I'm going to ramp it up to a year because that's what we want to for whatever reason.
Yeah, who knows, man. It's going to be really interesting to see. And I say we could get a punishment as soon as today. The thought is that Sue Robinson is going to take in the information and then kind of process it for a little while. It seems like next week is really the week that people are targeting for this.
So Jeffrey Kessler, the attorney for the NFLPA, apparently he's one of the most feared and well-respected negotiators in sports law. Mentioned the name Jeffrey Kessler, a key figure in the Deflategate scandal after being hired as Tom Brady's lawyer, to various people around the league. And the response is, well, fascinating. A veteran player says he keeps that... It's a 7-letter word that starts with A. He keeps that bleep in check. Then a league official says he's undermining the game. He's ruining it. Coach says he gets players back on the field. I love him. A league official says the worst scares me because he's so good. So this is who Deshaun Watson has.
He's got some ammo
him in this case.
Yeah, he's got some ammo.
So, this is this will be closed hearings. I wonder how much of it'll leak out.
Yeah, me too. I hope a lot. I hope a lot of it leaks out. You know what? I wanted to make sure you guys knew what the time frame was this morning for all the Deshaun Watson stuff. I'm going to save Greg Cosell. Greg Cosell had some nice things to say about the Texans. I'm going to save that for the next segment. Read a couple texts here. So my apologies on not paying off this segment. I will pay off next segment for you guys on the nice things that are being said about the Texans. Text message 832-474. So, Sean, does the latest lawsuit officially kill the River Oaks neighborhood barbecue group conspiracy? LOL, great show as always. I would say so. I would say that conspiracy was on life support, and that now that the lawsuit...
Busby and McNair had been in cahoots on all of this.
Since the get-go, ever since Deshaun requested a trade, that Cal's there flipping burgers and Busby's holding a beer, standing next to him, pointing at a burger saying, you probably need to flip that one there. And, oh, by the way, I hear your quarterback asked for a trade, and then Cal's like, yeah, you know, let's get him.
I know about a juicy conspiracy theory, it's that no amount of evidence will defeat it. So this is just some kind of ruse to throw people off the scent somehow. If you're somebody that believes that Busby and Cal McNair are in cahoots. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not joking. I'm 100%. Everything is easily explained once you wholeheartedly believe in a conspiracy.
Yes.
Because there's nothing nothing that can disprove it, Sean. In your mind, it's the absolute truth.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. 713-572-4610. 832-298. Nick Caserio is gangster for trading Deshaun before all this. Yeah, the timing. Look, Nick is a big winner in all this thing right now, no doubt. For the timing of unloading Deshaun and what Deshaun appears to about to be hit with here, punishment wise, no doubt about it.
I guess that's the other thing though too, where Caserio, whatever happens with this, and I do think, like, I'll agree with our caller Lamont and another couple of people who've weighed in. Personally, right now, I'd be surprised if this ever made it to a court. For multiple reasons.
You're talking about the Texans being included in the lawsuit.
The Texans being included in it. But let's say it did, or whatever else comes from it. Nick Caserio, this all happened before Nick Caserio arrived.
Yes.
So that's the good part of it, is the guy in charge right now, it's almost an impossibility that he's implicated in this unless somehow something crazy happened or what have you. So like that part of it, there is at least some stability and you're not threatening the foundations of the current setup.
Absolutely. I think it's a great point, which also raises the other point that several people have brought up on the text page and that I thought myself yesterday. This all happened on Bill O'Brien's watch as the head coach and the general manager. You know, we have people asking, is Bill O'Brien named in this lawsuit anywhere as GM and head coach? He's not. He's not named in there anywhere, but I think it's, you know, it's fair to wonder how the same way we wonder, okay, well, how much did Jack Easterby know? How much did this guy know? How much did that guy know? You know, how much did ownership know? If anything, maybe the answer is zero. Nobody had more of a micromanager, want my hands in everything vibe going on during 2020 than Bill O'Brien did. You know, he was a guy who wanted to do everything. So I think that's probably a fair thing to wonder. I don't know that we'll ever find out. I tend to agree with Seth. I don't know that this ever sees a courtroom. All right, Greg Cosell, who is one of the best at breaking down film. If you want somebody to have a good opinion on the Texans, we have found him for you, and you'll hear it next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
We'll get to headlines in just a few minutes here on Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Greg Cosell, who works for NFL Films, does a lot of film breakdowns. Been really good. He's been on our air here from time to time through the years. And he was on 104.5 in Nashville. And I guess they were, it sounds like, doing a little run through the AFC South. And Greg Cosell seems to like the Texans a whole lot more than people who are putting together mock drafts for 2023 like the Houston Texans. He says that the Texans have more talent right now than they're given credit for.
I actually think the Texans are going to be a better football team. Mm-hmm. First of all, I thought Davis Mills really improved as the year went on, and I think he can be a solid NFL quarterback. And I think they made some meaningful draft picks, and I think they have some good players now. Again, like I said, I'm not going to speak about a record, but I think Kenyon Green, who they drafted this round, will start and improve their O-line. I love John Mechie. We know they drafted Stingley. They're going to play more man coverage, which they actually did last year going down the stretch. So I just think they have a better roster. And I think, you know, it always depends on the quarterback. And I just think Davis Mills has a chance to be a pretty good player. And I think their overall talent is a little bit better than people might think. So we'll see. But I think they're a better football team.
That was Greg Cosell broadcasting from a graduation party.
It was a little stuff. Actually, the 104.5 people were out and about somewhere.
Oh, they were on a remote. So there. Okay.
Yeah, Cosell was in a bunker like he always is.
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually, because I also saw Cosell on the Ross Tucker podcast,
yeah,
where it looked like he was, okay, so that's, so that was, they were on location. And yeah, Cassell said similar things on the Ross Tucker podcast. It's, yeah, not like he was just, making stuff up on the fly right there. I think that the one thing Cassell saw from the Texans last year, that, you know, we've talked about here, but I don't think a lot of people picked up nationally, was that the defense did get more complex about midway through last season. You know, right about before the Tennessee game, right around the bye week that time, they started mixing up coverages more. They started blitzing more aggressively. They started doing a lot of things that would lend itself to taking advantage of a guy like Derek Stingley, if you can play man coverage. And Cassell mentioned that on the Ross Tucker podcast. I think right here where he's talking about them being better than last year, having a better roster than people realize, that kind of goes back to the whole part about the roster construction, where Caserio has signed a whole bunch of veterans again this year to 1 and 2 year contracts. And instead of having a ton of rookies starting like a lot of bad teams do, like the New York Jets did last year, you're going to have a lot of guys who are veteran journeyman types starting, and who guys who might not help you win a game, but they're not going to make you lose a game either. And that's a difference. Like, that's why it was so foolish for people last year when David Culley was fired, for them to be saying, well, Culley exceeded expectations, I don't know why they fired him. Like, no. The over-under for the Texans was 4 wins last year.
That's right.
He nailed the expectations, and that win total was with David Culley as the coach. I think with Lovie Smith as the coach, with a slightly upgraded roster because you've got more talent and speed because of your draft picks out there, and because some of your draft picks from last year are now a year later, yeah, I think the roster is upgraded, and I think you've got a better head coach at the helm. So they'll be an improved team. That doesn't mean they're a playoff team yet. But they're a more complete team than a lot of the quote unquote bad teams who are starting a bunch of rookies, many of whom aren't even going to make it in the NFL. Those are the teams that just flat out suck in any given year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm very surprised that the football populace at large, the analyst populace at large, are just conceding that the Texans are going to be picking first in the draft this coming season. Like, we see,
yeah,
that, you know, you and I went through that exercise right after the draft this year, Seth, of going and finding the early 2023 mock drafts, and it's really hard to find one, really hard to find one that doesn't have the Texans picking first. And to your point, this is where I come out on it, and to kind of back up Cosell's point, my question would be, name me one area of this team, either a position group or coaching or whatever, where this team is worse than they were in 2021.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's an area of this team where I look at it, I go, well, they're worse than they were last year. I think that every position group, every area of this team is either even or better than they were this time last year. Or at the end of last season.
Yeah, there's areas where, man, like, I wish they'd get on their horse and improve the tight end position. And then I remember, like, oh yeah, Brevin Jordan, actually. I'm somewhat excited about Brevin Jordan, and then Tegan Quatoriano, we'll see. Does he work out? Does he not? He's a fifth rounder, so if he doesn't work out, it's not a bust or anything.
Right.
But yeah, that's the first thing I thought of, was just tight end. Okay. That likely will be improved. Just if only that Brevin Jordan ends up taking another step forward in his development. I saw somebody the other day who was out at training camp say that he thought that it looked like Brevin Jordan really had latched on to wanting to be a good blocker. I disagree, partially just because I think Brevin Jordan last year wanted to be a good blocker. It's just that he needed work, you know, and he doesn't have a great body type for it. He's really strong with his lower body, but it's not like he's built like a guy that's going to be, you know, like almost as good as an offensive tackle out
right,
there. When
right,
he's
moving,
blocking.
Moving guys. Right. Yeah.
He's going to be a guy who's good when he's split out from the formation, but he does seem very conscientious and has always seemed like, the biggest thing that hit me about Brevin Jordan the first time he spoke to the media was, man, this kid's just excited to be in the NFL.
Very.
Like, he's really, like genuinely excited just to be out there. Like, he's living his dream.
Yep.
And like, it made me a fan of him immediately. Like, the way he played in college was, hey, he's going to break a lot of tackles. He's going to be, like, your classic lunch pail guy. And that extended onto the NFL. So, yeah, I have no doubt that he wants to be a good blocker. It's just a matter of continuing to work at it.
Here's one more from Greg Cosell. They got a little more specific on Davis Mills.
He's a very good thrower with the football. He's tall in the pocket. I think he knows what he sees. He's got enough movement that he's not a statue. You know, he lost the knee brace that he wore his last year at Stanford, and people were concerned about that, and he didn't play with that a year ago. You know, you guys probably remember the last game against Tennessee. He was very good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an efficient player who can make all the throws, and I think he's aggressive without being reckless. So I'm looking for him to be a better player this year.
What's his ceiling, Seth, in your mind, Davis Mills? And maybe not in 2022, but overall.
17-time All-Pro.
Okay. Well, there you go.
What were you going to say? Maybe not what?
Well, I said maybe. I mean, overall ceiling as a player, maybe not ceiling in 2022. Like, I feel my feeling of Davis Mills is his ceiling is like Andy Dalton, where he's a guy who, if everything else is optimal around him or above optimal around him,
yeah,
that he can, you know, he can win you some games.
I don't know. That's an interesting one. I guess I don't know. Like, I don't want to cop out of this one. I don't like putting ceilings on guys because usually if you're good enough to make it in the NFL, there's an avenue by which that you could end up being really good.
Mm-hmm.
If you do everything the right way, it's just really, really hard to do everything the right way. So if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I would say better than, I think he's got more raw physical tools than Andy Dalton, including touch on his deep ball.
Mm-hmm.
And the big question for him is just how good he is at the mental processing side of things. Like, because that has to be a strength for him. He doesn't have such great ball placement or such great touch on his deep ball, or anything like that, where he needs to make it about his anticipation skills, his timing, all that stuff. So whether it's Drew Brees or somebody like that, I could see that. I don't know. I have a hard time putting a ceiling on guys in their second season.
All right, so that was Greg Cosell, NFL Films. He likes the Texans better than most.
But I guess that's like a philosophical thing. I think that I think too often now in the last decade, we've seen guys that are awesome in their rookie year, second year as quarterbacks. You know, sometimes, you know, rookie MVPs like RG3, and then they're out of the league a while later. So
yeah.
it's just too early to tell. You know, what was Eli Manning's ceiling based on his first season?
He was a first overall pick, so people probably would have said his ceiling is pretty high.
His ceiling was he sucked after his first year. So, like, that's where I just, I guess, I don't know. Like, what's any of those guys that get taken number one overall have high ceilings.
Right.
But ultimately, it turns out, they didn't actually have a high ceiling.
Right. No, I guess I'm trying. Maybe ceiling's the wrong thing. I'm thinking best case scenario. Like, what do you think? What could Davis Mills become for this team?
Yeah.
You know, is sort of my question. All right, let's do some headlines.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, brought to you by BaywayJeep.com.
All right, Astros, Mets. The Astros are back at it. Cannot do these nights off with no Astros baseball. That sucked last night. They are back at it in New York City after a day off. In New York City, they got to go shell out their per diem and go buy some expensive steaks in Manhattan last night, presumably. They are playing the Mets tonight. Framber Valdez and his 7-3 record and 2.90 ERA, Seth. They're going against Carlos Carrasco, who was one of the two starters that the Astros roughed up last week when they played the Mets twice at Minute Maid Park. He's 8-3 with a 4.42 ERA. Framber, a little outside chance, I think, at maybe getting some recognition for the All-Star game as well. 7-3, 2.9 ERA, and I would say behind Justin Verlander, to me, even in spite of Javier and the near no-hitter thrown by him, you know, combined no-hitter, even with Urquidy pitching as well as he does, if we were to put a playoff rotation together right now, it would be Verlander 1 and Framber 2 for me right now. Framber's been really good.
Yeah, and this is a revenge game for Carlos Carrasco, of course. So,
yes.
By the way, I don't Why does baseball allow the fans to pick the position players, but then they need like the Electoral College to pick the pitchers?
Because that's a good question. I don't know, like it.
I feel like it's the Electoral College where I never quite like. I feel like I understand it, but I don't quite understand it.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It's weird that they go like from one extreme to the other. The fans and the fans alone will pick the All-Star game, other than, you know, the team designations and the manager's picks and everything. But then the pitchers, it's like, oh, no. Now we got to let the professionals.
I'm sure there's
it.
A reason for it. I'm sure the texters will tell us there's a reason. Maybe because the pitching is the one that controls the watchability of the game the most. You don't want to wind up with a bunch of guys in there just on name recognition that have 4.8 ERAs and things like that. I don't know. So. Anyways.
Because Carrasco, let's see, Carrasco let up 5 runs in, 2 1/3 innings? So I just a little bit more of that magic would be nice.
Yeah.
Just jump on these guys quickly.
Indeed.
More of this. You know what we didn't even really talk about was just after this Yankees series was over, because we were just kind of talking about the bullpen meltdowns more than anything else, was just that all of a sudden, lo and behold, we're getting – consistent offensive output from the Astros over a stretch versus some very, very good baseball teams. That's by far my biggest takeaway from, I'd say, the last 3 series, is that, okay, all right, this feels a little bit more like normal, that you can have a huge offensive output and then not completely dry up the next game.
Yeah.
And we can blame this on, we can blame a couple of these on relievers instead of on a woeful lineup, especially at back end of the lineup.
That's not something that's really worried me a ton. Like, I get more bothered by it than worried about it.
And I've been worried about them being like 20th in runs?
Not super worried about. No, I mean, I've said a few times that I think once August, September, and October roll around, that I think the guys who are supposed to hit are going to hit. Like, I because baseball, and I know your point is a good one, that they're 20th in runs, and I was about to say, well, baseball in general offense is down. It's like, no, compared to everybody else,
yeah.
Where baseball is down. I'm mildly concerned about it, I guess. I'm more concerned about Presley as the closer than I am the overall hitting of the team. Like, Presley is very concerning to me right now.
Yeah.
That's very concerning to me. Individually, am I concerned about some of the guys? Yeah, like Bregman, it's nice to see him start to hit. I'm fearful Yuli might be washed. I just feel like when October rolls around, these are guys who have been in these situations before. I also feel like, Seth, over the aggregate of the season, they're not going to be 20th in runs anymore. I just, you know, that's something that over the course of a season, I feel like is going to work itself out. I'm more worried about individuals than I am the overall team when it comes to stuff like that.
Bregman in the month of June so far has hit .250 with an OPS of .808.
Okay.
So.
If you give me an .808 OPS for the rest of the year from Alex Bregman, I would sign up for that right now.
Yeah.
I would sign up for that.
I'll give you since the Chicago series began, he's been a slow internet speed. So there you go.
Okay. Well, that lines up with his actual baseball speed as well.
Yes. No, you know what, though? Yeah. He's looked faster. He's had some elements and moments in the last couple of weeks where he's actually sprinted at a reasonable pace instead of looking like he's lagging along with his tiny little bow legs, like he's just out meandering to the next salsa factory of his or whatever he is. He's out inspecting his salsa factories.
You say so. All right, so that's the Astros. They play the Mets tonight. Meanwhile, the other big headline, top of the hour, the Deshaun Watson disciplinary hearing is set to begin. Watson facing Sue Robinson, the third-party mediator, former district judge, that is going to be handing down a punishment or deciding there's no punishment. It appears at this point that a punishment is imminent for Deshaun Watson. I don't think I'm going out on a limb by saying that. The NFL's investigative team is going to present their findings to Sue Robinson. Reportedly two things. One, they're focused on 5 of the accusers of Deshaun Watson that the NFL feels there is particularly compelling evidence to punish Deshaun Watson. The second thing you should know is the punishment that the NFL is reportedly seeking from Robinson on Watson is an indefinite suspension of at least a year. So if you're, if you're in Cleveland right now, you're probably freaking the hell out about this. That's a scary, scary thing if you're a Cleveland Browns fan right now.
One of our listeners made the very good point where in this, which is now run a lot more like it feels like a court hearing, even though it's an independent arbitrator. We're talking about it more like it's a court hearing because it's the NFL going up against the NFLPA in a hearing decided by an independent arbitrator. So when the NFL is recommending a year, that's kind of like the DA recommending a year. One of our listeners makes a good point, which is that if they're recommending a year, they probably expect something else, like in a negotiation. I don't know if at this point that's necessarily fair to say because it's not a negotiation. It's an independent arbitrator to, you know, deciding what it is. If it was a negotiation, then the NFL might be saying like, okay, well, the other side's going to ask for 4 games, then maybe we meet somewhere in the middle. It's not a negotiation right now. When the NFL supposedly negotiated with the NFLPA, the NFL did not want to yield on the ability to extend the length of the suspension if more information came to light. And that apparently is where stuff fell apart.
Yep.
So it could be anywhere from like 4 games to over a year, just depending on what Sue Robinson, the independent arbitrator, rules. And then after that, Roger Goodell could step in and change it if he feels like it. But we'll see. This is all brand new under the new CBA. Yeah,
here's the thing. I mean, unless somebody's sitting in that room where this hearing is taking place today and is able to kind of read the room and look at Sue Robinson while she's taking in some of this testimony or evidence, unless you're there and unless you watched the interviews that the NFL conducted with the accusers and with Deshaun Watson, unless you saw with your own eyes and you've got a good read on people from doing that, unless you've done that and you're predicting what the punishment is going to be, you are grasping for straws. That's why whenever I see somebody, I think he's going to get this. Based on what? Based on what? It's a totally new process to dole out a punishment with a judge that most people know nothing about, with a case that's unprecedented. 24 accusers, and they've narrowed it down to 5. We don't know which 5. We don't know which lawsuits these are. We don't know which plaintiffs these are. You know nothing. If you hear anybody on the radio saying, I think he's getting this, they're guessing. That's all they're doing. We're all guessing.
Which is fine. I mean, you can guess, yeah, but as far as reporting that he's expected to get, it's like, no, there is no expectation.
Yeah.
There's no expectation of anything.
Yeah. So
have you watched the NFL the last year? Nobody knows what the hell's happening from one day to the next.
The only thing I feel comfortable in saying, Seth, is I think he's getting punished. Like that I think is safe to say now. Just based on Josina Anderson's report last week that the three sides, the union, Deshaun, and the NFL, were sitting down trying to hash out some sort of settlement. You know, like I don't think you have settlement talks when we all think the number is going to be zero. You know, like that's. Settlement is arriving at a number that is a non-zero number for something like that. So,
By the way, Bregman since the Chicago series, Sean, has been hitting .379 with an OPS of .1263.
He's been great.
Yeah,
yeah, he's been really good.
That's the money one. But I wanted to do the whole month of June to try to balance it out and show you, like, okay, but it is. He's shown signs of life, even above and beyond. Like anybody can have a stretch versus the White Sox, the Mets, and the Yankees.
Yeah. No, I don't think he's going .1379 OPS the rest of the way. But
hater.
Yep, big time.
Freaking hater.
The other Deshaun Watson news is, well, it's tied to the Texans. The Texans were formally named as defendants Monday in the ongoing civil litigation involving their former quarterback, Deshaun Watson. Tony Busby, the Houston attorney representing the women who are filing lawsuits against Deshaun Watson, many of which have been settled, issued a statement yesterday saying that they have filed the first case of what will likely be many, Seth, against the Houston Texans related to Deshaun Watson's behavior. Suffice it to say, the overwhelming evidence collected indicating that the Texans enabled Watson's behavior is incredibly damning. Busby goes on to say, we believe the Texans knew or most certainly should have known of Watson's conduct. Beyond that, we believe the filing speaks for itself. Monday's lawsuit provides the most detailed account yet of what, if any, prior knowledge people within the Texans organization had of Watson's behavior. Seth and I will dig into this more in detail at the bottom of the hour. I would say that, Seth, the overriding takeaways from this is that it seems like the Genuine Touch, which is the outside massage company that the Texans contract with to use for massage on their players on the roster, they seem to know a lot about what Deshaun's alleged behavior was. The internal employees that were part of this saga, that were part of this lawsuit, Roland Ramirez, who's the head trainer, Brent Nicaro, who's the head of security, they both carried out certain wishes of Watson when it came to booking rooms at the Houstonian, providing massage tables, providing a non-disclosure agreement. And they also seemed to know, at least Ramirez did, that Watson was procuring several massages outside of the team, you know, through outside massage therapists.
Yeah.
And tried to encourage him to use the team massage therapist. Let me just finish up real quick.
Oh, okay.
But neither Nicaro or Ramirez in the lawsuit are outlined as somebody that knew what Watson's alleged behavior was that he's being accused of. I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, is like Busby framing it as, did he say incredibly damning? I believe he used the word incredibly damning.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that in terms of what the Texans knew and didn't know. I could see how if some of this is fleshed out, it could be damning. But it's I don't quite yet see where the Texans definitely should have known exactly what Deshaun was doing, or that I feel like Busby's tried to paint this at times like the Texans knew exactly what Deshaun was doing, and it was all the other alleged stuff that he was doing, like, with great detail. I just haven't seen that yet. Should the Texans have asked more questions?
That's the big thing.
Bingo.
That's it right there. To me, my big takeaway is, are the things that Watson was asking for, massage tables from the facility, rooms at the Houstonian, a non-disclosure agreement to combat a woman who was threatening to expose him.
Right.
Should those have been things that the Texans at some level should have dug deeper into? That's a fair question. I think the other one is, okay, how much of what genuine touch and Joni Han, the owner, and those massage therapists knew and experienced, allegedly, with Deshaun Watson, how much did they share with the Texans about the behavior?
Yeah, you know, how much did they relay?
Because it is outlined in there that Joni Han relayed to the Texans her concern over Deshaun scheduling all these Instagram massages, but it was framed as something more related to COVID than it was related to the behavior. At least that's how I read the lawsuit.
Yeah, so there's a lot there. I think that it's like with a lot of these things, sometimes a bigger corporation just doesn't want to deal with it, or they figure out, okay, how much is it going to cost in court to go through all of this, and maybe they end up settling, you know, without yada 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 admitting whatever.
Right.
I think the other greater question here too is, since this didn't involve, since the alleged victims in Deshaun's transgressions aren't actually Texans employees, like, I don't know how responsible the Texans are for what one of their employees does outside of the facility, away from the team, and that's where I guess their knowledge of what he was doing at the Houstonian would matter a lot. Like, they'd have to find pretty damning evidence that, like, that the Texans knew that Deshaun was up to, like, exactly what he was doing, like, and or excuse me, what he was alleged to have done in terms of pressuring women into doing various things. That's there are a lot of ifs there before you connect those dots, which I suppose that's why you depose people. That's why you ask for certain information and texts and what have you. It's just like, so far, I don't quite see the damning evidence that Busby claims he has.
No, I don't either. Now, but this is not nothing. I don't think it's nothing. I don't think this is something the Texans can just brush off. Now, they may go ahead and settle just to make it go away, you know, with money or whatever the case may be. But it's not. I think it's something that definitely deserves questions being asked internally, which, by the way, may be being asked or have already been asked internally, knowing that this was coming down the pipe.
Right. So Roland Ramirez is the head athletic trainer.
Yep.
And he says that he thought it was strange that Deshaun was, you know, borrowing these massage tables. That's where, you know, you need to get into more detail, too. It's like, why was it strange necessarily? Like, I don't. So far, I haven't seen any evidence that shows that Ramirez, like, was telling Deshaun, like, hey, you're going to go sexually assault some people with this? Cool. Right. Yeah, have at it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
go ahead, take it.
Yeah.
Feel free.
Yeah.
Was it strange just because Deshaun is making over $100 million and needed to borrow a massage table? Was it strange because Deshaun was going to take that massage table and stick it in, like, some little two-wing, gull-wing sports car or something? Like,
And bring it to the Houstonian to use when the Houstonian is a spa.
Already has those, right.
Has
right,
massage
yeah.
therapists.
Yeah. So, but some of it, like, and this is where I've had an issue with some of the way Busby tries to frame these things sometimes. He continues to act like a player going outside of the team's resources to get a massage is some crazy, wacky thing. That's the norm. More so than it is strange. Deshaun going to 60-plus massage therapists and seeking them out without asking whether they're even good at sports massage or anything. That's the part that's strange. But there's certain things that aren't all that far outside the realm of what a team would do for a star quarterback. It's just you got to figure out what did the Texans actually know.
Yep. And for those wondering, the only executive mentioned in the lawsuit is Jack Easterby, who's mentioned in the section where they talk about procuring a membership at the Houstonian for Deshaun Watson. Roland Ramirez actually brings up Jack Easterby's name in that as part of the, you know, as part of the effort to get Deshaun a room at the Houstonian that he used. Obviously doesn't say they knew what he was using that room for, but they were procuring a membership at the Houstonian for Deshaun. So this will be interesting. If you're into the story, I would recommend going reading this lawsuit. There's some interesting stuff in here.
And plus, the other part of it, too, it gets super complicated and interesting. It was one of our texters point out. It's that all of these allegations are assuming that Deshaun is guilty of doing what he's alleged to have done. So then I don't know, like, if one domino has to fall before the other, like, does Deshaun have to be found liable before you can then say, hey, look, the Texans, this thing that Deshaun was liable for, the Texans were involved with this. Like, if Deshaun is found not liable in civil court, or, well, I mean, 20 of them have been settled, like, what is your recourse then? Does he get sued? I have no idea.
Well, that's
no idea.
That was a question, by the way. You're listening to KLT and KLT HD2 on Odyssey Station. That was a question I had yesterday. I actually texted that to Mike Meltzer. This Toy Garner, who is the plaintiff in this lawsuit against Deshaun Watson, we should mention that too. We didn't, as long as we're talking about this, the plaintiff in this particular lawsuit is one of the original 22 accusers. This is the woman who Deshaun drove all the way to Manville to get a massage at this woman's mother's house twice. He went there. Does her suing Deshaun, or I'm sorry, does her suing the Texans mean that she's one of the four that's still suing Deshaun? You know, like, in other words, to your point about if he's found not liable, does that mean the Texans are responsible for anything? Well, if these women settled with Deshaun, does that mean the Texans are still liable in lawsuits that have been settled already?
Yeah,
you know?
Right, yeah.
It's weird.
I don't have a clue.
I don't either.
It's just so much.
Neither did Mike, so I felt better.
Yeah. He didn't? Okay, good. Yeah. Not that this is Mike's area of specialty.
Mike's really smart.
If you need intellectual property law or something, I don't know if Mike is pursuing that or not, but somebody says, and this is a good point, too, that I'm going to slightly disagree with. This listener says, for me, the smoking gun, if there is one, is the request for the non-disclosure agreement. I think about my employees. If anyone came to me asking for an NDA, I would have serious questions. And that's where you get into, okay, what did Deshaun tell Brent Nakara about why he needed the non-disclosure?
Brent Nakara, head of security for the Texans. Right?
Yeah, the Instagram post that perhaps he would have shown Brent Nakara, Nia Smith says, put Deshaun's number out there and said, I could expose you. Multiple listeners and others have pointed out, like, okay, did Deshaun go to Brent Nakara and say, hey, this is an ex-girlfriend of mine or something, or this is somebody that is threatening to call my girlfriend or something like that? Like, that could be framed multiple different ways. They would sound pretty reasonable, like, if you don't know anything else about it, to Brent Nakara. And that's where, again, yet just what is... just what is the Texans' duty at that point to ask more questions versus like giving out, which is a pretty standard boilerplate thing, which is a non-disclosure agreement for a professional athlete. I don't know. That's what they would hash out in court, I suppose. It's just, I'm not by any stretch of the imagination saying that this couldn't happen, that the Texans knew a bunch and didn't do anything. I haven't seen the damning evidence that Busby claims all of this is just yet in terms of how much the Texans knew and what they did to facilitate any allegedly awful behavior.
Yeah. According to the lawsuit, Deshaun allegedly had sex with two of the Genuine Touch massage therapists. Yeah. So does this bring the number? I'm assuming the Genuine Touch massage therapists are not part of the 24 lawsuits. Does this bring?
I was told a while back that none of them were. Okay. That unless one of the new ones was, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So would it?
That bring the number to five that Deshaun would now have had what he would categorize consensual sex with?
This is another one that's a little bit. And again, we should emphasize like every 3 minutes. These are. None of this has been run through
sure.
like the legal system. These are just allegations. You can say anything you want in a lawsuit. I feel like whether it's hearsay or what have you, in the lawsuit it says that employees at Genuine Touch knew that other employees were having sex with Deshaun. How did they know? Was that a rumor that was going around? Like, think of various times where there have been rumors and that people at your office were having an affair or something and it turned out to be bunk or not. That's the part that I just don't – like, was it a rumor about specific people and those people had actually told people? I don't know. Like, that part's very vague as well.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. So that's what's going on with Deshaun. We'll dig more into that, get into – although we just did a pretty deep dive into it right there. We'll get back to it a little later on in the show for sure.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.